Here we go, episode 61. Man, we're getting old. 61 here in the Insane Asylum. I live in dreads. That's right. We're going to the movies, and we're going to do this. This is actually a good idea. Of course, we have Dom with us. We have Mr. Skrull there. We are missing SJ. Sad day. He's been just running off at the mouth, you know, in the Insane Asylum. The white coats are fucking nailing him, and he fucking paid a piper, I guess. I don't know. But, and Dom, you came up with this idea, a couple weeks ago, given all this, our current situation here with, this coronavirus, a lot of people being locked down, really don't have much to do at all. Don, you came up with the idea of taking and going to the movies and reviewing, three movies, which is what we're going to do tonight, review, and do that once a week. Instead of maybe once every other week, give people, some ideas of some movies to watch, some movies to stay away from, which I think Mr. Skrull is on that page with one of our movies tonight. But, we're going to talk, The Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. I don't have the year in front of me. I think it was 71, if I'm not mistaken.
72.
Okay. Yeah, it was a good year. That was the year old Otis was hatched. And then we're gonna get into Toxic Avenger, which is like a horror comedy to me. Absolutely love that movie. And then finally, we are going to talk a little bit about and go over Night of the Living Dead from 1990, Tom Savini's version. Let me throw out some shout outs real quick. Misfit Horror Fiend Club over there on Facebook. We have the Zombie Boob over there on Facebook. Chiller Presents Carnival of Souls. That's right, our very own Don Skrull over there on Facebook. Then we have the Slaughterhouse. Slaughter on Wayne.
Slaughter on Garth.
All right. Hey man, look, it's like in stereo. That was awesome. You both were ready for that one. And, of course, we're over there, Night Living Dreads, nightlivingdreads.com. Listen to the podcasts on Stitcher and Spotify. So, let's start out. I don't know who wants to go first. I normally have some, little notes and whatnot, if not at least a wiki page to take in and refer to as far as directors and names. I am so unprepared today. I've watched the movies. I do have that under my belt. But let's talk 1972's Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. I don't know a whole lot about what you think about it, this, Dom. I think I kind of have an idea. So why don't you start with your thoughts on this? Because you've watched it numerous times. Is that right?
That is correct. This film came out in 72. It was directed by Bob Clark, who would go on to, in the 80s, bring us stuff like Porky's and
A Christmas Story.
Everyone's favorite Christmas Story, yes. And in the 70s, he also did Black Christmas, which is, I think, did you guys touch base
yes.
with that?
Or, yes, we yes, did. Okay. Yep. On the Slaycation, we did. Yep.
I thought so. So in 72, he made a zombie film, I guess you could call it that. It's unique. It's different than other zombie films. There weren't really many, I guess, zombie roles at this point in the game, because Night of Living Dead came out in 68, this is 72, so right. I don't think there were many actually zombie movies in between, but it's the story of these friends that are in an acting group or something, and they go to this, a little private island or some shit,
yeah.
or an abandoned island, and they are going to do, since this guy thinks he's some kind of warlock or something, they're going to go do this, satanic ritual, which I mean, the actual ritual itself is just hilarious. The acting in the film is real bad. It's real bad.
and it's funny because they're playing it. Yeah. I mean, the acting is really bad. It's more comical than anything. It's like, oh God, really? And they're playing actual actors,
right?
In the fucking movie, and can't act worth a shit.
The dialogue is it leaves stuff to be desired, but yeah. It's a fun idea. This idea of this small group of people get to this island and they're performing a satanic ritual, and of course it don't work, but it turns out that you find out later that it does work. A lot of this movie I actually don't like the whole beginning, the whole build up, because the dialogue is kind of boring. And like I said, the acting is poor and whatnot. The idea behind it is good, I think. But the end of this movie, I love it. I love the visuals. I love, even when the zombies, like this is where the whole, I guess, zombies crawling out of the ground first started, like in this film. Like that's the first I've seen. Even Romero didn't really have any zombies coming out of the ground.
Right, they just appeared, yeah.
Yeah, and you get to see it, and even though they come out of the ground, there's like no dirt on them or anything. It's cheesy, and it's campy, and it's a fun movie like that. I like a lot of the shots that he does in this film, and this is why I actually enjoyed it, was I enjoyed in the second half when he's panning the graveyard. There's this real cool shot of him panning the graveyard, and like bodies are kind of like convulsing and squirming up out of the ground, and it's kind of a drawn out shot. It's just like one of my favorite visuals when I think of zombie films. And you get some scenes in this movie as kind of bad. It's definitely a bad movie. Like, I'm not saying that this movie, but I like it. But you get things in this movie like that that are just so good in my visual. It's almost like this is the stuff my nightmares were made of, like when I was a small child. Like, I think I saw this when I went to sleep, with the way these zombies and the color and the woods. I enjoyed a lot of it. I'm going to give it a rating that's going to probably surprise you guys. But I want to hear what our other friend has to say, because his opinion.
Don, go ahead.
Way different.
Yes, it's way different. I really think that this movie, because Don and myself were chatting a little bit, earlier talking about this, and I have to agree with you though, Dom. I even told, Skrull earlier, I said, that the concept of the movie was actually kind of cool. I just think it was poorly done. There was poor acting, but we'll get to my opinions, because I'm pretty much almost on the same page as you are, Dom. Now let's go to our polar opposite of what you think of this movie. Don,
this is gonna be fun.
Oh, this is going to be great. This hurts his soul. He may have to be on suicide watch here in the insane asylum after this. Don,
that is awesome.
The floor is yours, buddy. Did you like this movie, Skrull?
Hell no. I hated everything about this movie. I hated it. It was the worst movie I have ever seen. Tom Clark, man.
Bob Clark.
Needed, Bob, whoever in the fuck he is.
He did Christmas Story, man. Come on now. He got better.
I'm telling you, he got better. But he must have been tripping on LSD, done about 3 shrooms, and done as much drugs as he possibly could before he directed this movie. This movie was rotten to the core. It should be burned and buried, and nobody should ever see this movie. The only thing that was funny about it was the comical parts. It was like Scooby-Doo.
That's what I thought.
Met Zombie Island. We even had a Shaggy in there.
I know, the one guy with the green shirt. He always kind of resembled Shaggy.
Yeah, they all resembled Scooby-Doo's crew. All we needed was Scooby-Doo himself. Those old Atari games that, the E.T. games, right, that people didn't buy?
Oh, I bought it. I bought it. It sucked bad. Yeah, it sucked.
They should have buried this movie. Actually, they should have burned it and then buried it.
Man. Don't hold back, Skrull. Don't hold back.
It hurt my soul. It was the worst movie that could ever be thought of. The zombies. Okay, okay, I'm going to get into the movie. Okay, here we go.
All right. Buckle up, buttercups.
The whole zombie resurrecting thing was cheesy. It took the majority of the movie for the zombies to come up out of the ground. The zombies, when they came out of the ground, they didn't even look dirty. Two of the zombies looked like they could play in a dark metal band.
Black metal.
Half of them, the makeup was poorly done. Poorly done. It was like something that came out of Party City. When the zombies came up out of the ground, it looked like they were all tripping on some kind of fucking acid. They were the fastest zombies I've ever seen, except the newer movies. I mean, I didn't even think of them as zombies. I mean, it was just.
They didn't really have the movement like what you would, I guess, when you think about Night of the Living Dead, you know, probably, you know, one of the biggest well-known, you know, zombie movies. You know, I guess it kind of started a lot of, you know, this zombie craze, of course, George Romero. You know, you think about them zombies and how they moved. And whatnot, right. And just slow, and you know, these guys, these zombies moved a little differently.
They could have ran a marathon. They could have ran a marathon.
What's that, Dom?
There's the one girl in the one of the girls looked like Cher, one of the girls like General, the guy looked like General Custer. They were suggesting molesting a corpse, which that was weird. And the whole burying the corpse, that didn't have anything to do with anything.
And I was kind of confused on that. Dom, what did you think about that whole marrying the corpse thing? How did that fit in? I didn't really understand that a whole lot.
There was definitely some necrophilia vibes being thrown out in this tomb. Like, there's a part where they brought the corpse into another room and left it in bed, and then dude went and laid in the bed with the corpse. And I don't know, he said something like, "I don't know, we're good friends or something, but we're about to get close," something like that. Where it's kind of like insinuated that he's gonna bang this dead body.
Right.
It's like, okay, well. We're going down some dark avenue. But what I want to just throw in here is, like, one of the best parts in this whole thing, like, when you guys want to, like, Scooby-Doo this fucking movie up. And this is why, I think it's fun like this. I think this is campy and cheesy and just good old fun. But, like, I've never seen this, and I'm going to give them points for this, as terrible as it is, because no one in the history of horror or zombie films has ever attempted this or done this again. But they're all holed up inside of this cabin and they've got everything sealed. And they're just waiting. And dude does this spell where he's like, I'm going to send them back. Like, because they raised them through this satanic ceremony. Now they're going to do a satanic banishing ceremony. And the guy does this spell, and the zombies are like, oh, okay, well, let's leave. And they all leave.
Right? They all just turn around and walk away.
And they're like, they're gone, so they leave the cabin thinking they can go get to the boat and get off the island. And they get like 50 feet from the cabin, and the zombies are like, ha ha, surprise, we tricked you.
Right, yeah.
20 feet down the road. And waited for him to come out. Like, I've never seen zombies in my life go, hey, you know what? If we convince these people in the house that we're not outside, they'll come out and we can eat them. They figured it out.
Right. These are some of the smartest, agile, quick fucking zombies you've ever met.
And then bonuses for this. Oh, let me get this one more thing in. bonuses for this because nobody fucking survived. Everybody died. There's no happy ending. Everyone that came
yes.
is dead. But then you see the zombies get on the fucking boat like, oh, we got to get off the island.
They fucking figured it out. Right. They're on the boat like, man, there's fucking zombies out here. Get the fuck out of here.
Right? This is fucking great.
How did the zombies learn how to start the boat up, too? Because you can see the boat taking off as it goes down the water. I was like, wait a minute. These zombies started the boat up, and they're heading out through the water.
This is why we do those movies like this. Listen, man, this is great. He's cracking up because it's hilarious.
It is.
It's so corny. It's hilarious. It's funny.
You think about it, and it's funny. Like, you watch it, and you're like, yeah. But then you think about what you watch, and then you laugh. Like, it's listed as being, like, a horror comedy for, like, 72 or something. But, like, I actually go in the movie, like, the stuff that's supposed to be funny, like you said, is Scooby-Doo. It's like that slapstick, old-school kind of goofy kind of shit that's not really funny. It was probably funny to people in, like, the 40s and 50s, but not even in the 70s was it funny. But then the movie ends, and you just process everything you watched and what happened, and then you just laugh the whole time. Like, oh, remember that? The zombies tricked them, and then the zombies killed them all and got on the boat and left.
It's like the girl's eyes. Did you notice the girl's eyes, the crazy girl?
Oh yeah, that.
Like one of them was lazy or something, right?
Well, she had the, like, her wide eyes. It looked like she gacked up about an eight ball, and you know, she's just staring off into space, eyes as big as fucking saucers. I mean, it's like, what in the shit happened to her?
Dude, everybody on that set was high. That dude, when he's trying to do like when the when they, like, tricked them into thinking that some, I don't know, they were digging up a corpse, but it was his friend hiding or something. Which
right.
You can't explain, like, they had to dig the guy up. He was, like, 6 feet deep in the casket, but we didn't explain that part. He's just in there, right? But, right. Like, the warlock dude, you can tell he's high as shit, because he does this horrible laugh for, like, 5 minutes. It's like, how long is this guy going to laugh? It's so fucking annoying.
And then the two little actors that they had, you know, he says that, you know, this guy's, I guess, a bit of a jokester. I think his name is Alan. He's a bit of a fucking jokester. And he was, like, kind of the head of this, you know, acting thing, whatever they're involved in outside of this island. And, you know, he's kind of, you know, running the show and shit. And I forgot where the hell I was going. Thank you, Edibles. I got caramel edibles. I didn't get the yellow pill today.
This is what happens when you're heavily medicated on your side.
Man.
I'm telling you, this movie was like, it was, I don't know, man. I don't know if they didn't have a budget or, like, I don't know. The camera, the shots, some of the shots were cool, but the camera kept shaking, and I felt like I was on a boat out in the middle of the ocean somewhere.
That's because the camera guy and that one girl with the wide eyes were sharing the same baggie.
Right. They're all fucking
zinging around.
And then, you know, it was just, oh my God, man. And I'm a horror actor. And I'm like, oh no, man, this is like, the comedy's cool. The comedy's cool. I'll give it that much. But the whole movie was like, I've seen better videos on Pornhub.
I would certainly hope so. They put a lot of time and effort into that. Right now, that's Dom's fucking lifeblood.
Yeah.
This is,
since I've been out solitary confinement, I have spent a lot of time on there. The IT department's not happy with some of my things. That's another topic for another show.
Right, right. That's another podcast, man. Yeah, we got all kinds of time for that one. I don't know. This shit was funny. And you know some of the most comical parts was where, and I do, I think the one chick in the red robe who seemed to be like Alan's right-hand woman.
Oh, Cher?
Cher, yeah. I thought she looked like Cher. She, you know, when she gets down there and she was like, let me show you how to, you know, fuck with Satan, right, or whatever. And she gets down there and starts, right, talking about, I don't know, man. She just goes off. She said some shit and me and Jody both looked at each other like, the fuck did she just say?
She was like a Jewish gypsy or something.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of their incantations and their invocations or whatever, like. They were just ridiculous. It's just like Lucifer, the Prince of Nine, this person who does bad things.
Right.
The usurper of good. It's just like they didn't even have a fucking script.
Yeah, right. Just bad Jesus. There.
Yeah, the most generic shit they could come up with. It's so great.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they instantly taunt him, like, you're a phony, you're a fraud.
Yeah, what did he say? Like, oh, I guess they're all out to lunch.
Yeah.
Or he said some stupid little corny shit like that. I mean, there were a few funny parts in it.
And there was some cheesy-ass one-liners, yeah.
And the blood from an aborted baby, but don't worry, we didn't kill it, or something like that.
and old girls, you know, bringing about, because it was almost like she was taunting them. You know, yeah. The Cher girl, like, oh, get out of the way, they're lightweight. Let me show you how to fucking do this. And then she almost, like, starts taunting him, like, and then rise, oh, cowboys, or whatever. I don't know what the fuck she said, but it was kind of, like retarded like that.
Yeah, it was no one consulted Anton LaVey in the script, right?
Like, nobody. They had no clue how to summon Satan. Go ahead, Don.
They were carrying the weapons outside. You know, if you're carrying a weapon, you're going to use them, right? Like, you're supposed to use them against the zombies.
Well, the bitch told him, hey, when you leave, don't bring anything but a weapon. Leave everything else behind, but bring a weapon. And then they go out there and they don't use any of them.
Exactly.
They just push. They start pushing people. They're pushing zombies.
They're like running through, you know, they look like me trying to get out of Walmart.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just like pushing and shoving. The bitch has got a crowbar in her hand, or one guy's got an axe or something, and it's like, why are you not swinging?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't see anyone swing. I mean, am I wrong in that? Did I just miss it? Did anybody swing at a zombie?
And you know what? Like, when the zombies tricked them and they were outside and the zombies were like, ha, I got you. Like, instead of turning around and running, they just kind of slowly walked backwards.
Like, oh, right, they kept looking backwards. Oh, come on, motherfucker, you know they're there.
Yeah, instead of running, like, no, they just kept stepping, like, back, like, oh, I'm just back my up real slowly, like, don't leave me alone. Turn around and run. Zombie, run.
Move slow. They may not see us.
And don't forget the guy that gets grabbed through the window, and then the chick backs up to the window. It's already open. Like, close the window, right? You know, close. And she backs up to the window, and they drag her off. He's like, here, take me too. You know, it's
right.
Open invitation, and nobody ever shut the window. I don't know if anybody ever noticed that, but nobody shut the window. It just cut to another person.
All right, I think this is no time like the present to hand out some skulls. We started with you, Dom, with the introducing this movie. How many skulls are you giving this?
I'm going to give this, oh my God, this is so hard.
It is.
So bad. I enjoy, like I mentioned earlier, I enjoy a lot of the shots of the zombies. The way it looks, it's just cheesy, campy, like, yay, kind of for me. I'm going to give it 3.5 skulls.
Wow. I did not anticipate it being that high for you.
Wow. Yeah, 3.5.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I've seen it more than once, so.
All right. So, hey, that's over halfway of our 5-skull rating. So, I guess that would say that, you can take Dom's, advice and maybe check it out if you like that kind of stuff. Don, Mr. Skrull, on the other hand, I know you're way on the other end of this scale. How many skulls are you giving this?
I'll give it 1.5 skulls.
Okay, well, that's pretty generous given how much you said it hurt your soul and you may have to be put on suicide watch and on close watch by the White Coats because of this movie.
Well, let me explain this. I'll give it 1 for the comedy because the comedy was pretty sweet and 1/2 a skull for the attempt of making the movie.
All right. Well, I guess that leaves me. So you got 1.5 skulls for Mrs. Skrull, and you have 3.5 for Dom, which I didn't think you'd go that high. I knew it was going to be over half. I'm the monkey in the fucking middle. I'm splitting it right down the middle. 2.5 skulls I'm giving this one because it was entertaining, as bad as it was. The acting, horrible. The actors are playing actors in the fucking movie and couldn't act. There's something seriously wrong with that. But it was entertaining. I got a lot of laughs from it. Even if I was just, ripping on it like a Mystery Science Theater or something, it was entertaining. I had a good time watching it, and it was mainly due to the fact of it just kind of opened the door to insults. And it was kind of funny at times. So, cheesy, a little bit funny.
Yeah, cheesy, campy. That kind of, like, so bad, it's kind of good, kind of fun.
Yes.
It's not going to name it one of his favorite horror films of all time, but you can watch it and just laugh and shake your head. Like, not turn it off. Just be like, all right, what are they going to do next?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, look at that. Yeah.
Or how bad is this next scene going to be compared to the one I just watched?
Right.
All right. So that one didn't do, I guess, too horribly bad. I guess out of a total of a maximum of 15 skulls, we have 1.5 for Skrull, 2.5 for me. And that brings us up to 4 out of 15 when he got 7.5 skulls. So, hey, that's right there in the middle. It's right there in the fucking middle of a maximum 15 skulls that you could get. All right, let's move on to our next movie. And that would be another 80s. It was in the 80s, right? I mean, obviously, you can just look at the film. And Toxic Avenger. I absolutely love this movie. Because it was funny, it was corny. How many times have you seen this movie, Dom?
I can't even honestly give you an answer.
That many times?
I picked this movie out. The main reason why I picked this for my pick was I took my kids and I said, you guys, come on. Because we've all been locked up and shit. I said, I got a movie for you guys tonight. And I sat my kids down, and I was like, you have to see this. And I put on the Toxic Avenger.
Well, it's awesome, because we're going to get to a certain part in the movie when we start explaining all the little scenarios. Because you got a funny little story about something that, your daughter had said at a certain part. So why don't you give us a little rundown, Dom. You've seen it more than probably both of us. I saw it years ago, bits and pieces. Sat down, probably watched it 3 times in the past, like, 2-3 days. So give us a little rundown. What's the whole scenario? What's going on with the Toxic Avenger?
This is one of my favorite 80s films. I saw this when I was like 10 for the first time. This is the story of Melvin the Mop Boy.
Melvin the Mop Boy.
the mop boy mops up at the gym that all the cool people go to. And Melvin is a 98-pound, I don't know, you call him a bit of a goof or a dork or whatever. You could tell he hasn't had much luck with the ladies, and he's extremely clumsy. And he's just, it's just general, you just kind of feel bad for the guy.
Some bitch had teeth. Some bitch had, you know, teeth. He could probably eat, you know, a fucking corn on the cob through a picket fence.
He could eat the picket fence.
Jesus.
He could eat.
And at some point, Melvin ends up getting, it gets over by these, like, there's this group of people, like, there's like just two cool dudes that are there working out, smoking weed in the gym, like, it ain't no thing. With their hot girlfriends, and they're actually psychopathic killers. I don't know if they're, is it insinuated that maybe they're shooting steroids or some shit? These guys are like full of rage.
Oh my God. It's either that or he was getting some of the same shit from the girl and the children shouldn't play with dead things.
Yeah.
He looked like he had some roid rage going on.
Constantly and stressed out, and the way to solve things is they have to go out and they have to commit murder. And this town here, Troma, is it Tromaville? I think it is Tromaville.
Tromaville.
Okay, so there's all this crime and corruption all through Tromaville, and there's these people out free killing people and doing hit and runs and all this crazy shit. And there's the mayor's involved in human trafficking and drug deals, and everybody's doing something dirty. And when you got that kind of recipe, you need yourself a superhero. And Tromaville in New Jersey is about to have its first superhero. As Melvin is fucking, he's tricked into this thing by these hot chicks who are just playing a game, and he's humiliated, and everyone's laughing at him on this crank they pulled, and he's running because he's freaked out. And
he's got tights on and a tutu.
Yeah, he had to put on the pink tights and the tutu because the woman was like, pink really turned her on, and that's what she wanted. And at first he was like, no. And then she's like so hot, he's like, well, okay, that's what I got to do. And he happens to jump out through a window, and it just so happens that these guys who are hauling just open containers of toxic waste in their trunk or on the back of their truck had to pull over because they're so high on cocaine. They just
stick their nose in the bag. They come up, it's all covered in their face.
Right? There's Scarface in this shit. They are buried. This dude's got like so much. He's got probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 ounces of cocaine in this bag. And they're just like, yeah.
And he's probably got an 8-ball on his face.
Right? And fucking Melvin lands in one of these toxic barrels full of waste. And then he's on the street, and his skin is just bubbling, and he's burning, and his hair is falling out. And the guys that set him up with the two girls come out, and they're like, oh, he's faking it.
Well, hey, the roid rage guy, I think he mentioned it first. They're, you know, he's faking. I mean, because this guy's like, you know, I mean, the whole fucking movie.
Right. And then Melvin jumps up and he runs home and he goes through a transformation that turns him into what becomes the superhero, the Toxic Avenger, who goes out and fights crime.
he takes care of all the evildoers.
This is fun. This movie is so much fun. The violence is so over the top. The kills are so ridiculous. And it just gets better and better. And they're sequels, and they're just as much fun. So if you enjoy this movie, you will enjoy part two, you will enjoy part three, you will enjoy part four, because they're, well, maybe not part four. But the rest of them are still, it's just, what you get here is what you get in every single one of them. It's silly, it's campy, it's over the top, it's super gory. It's awesome. I love this film. I must have seen it probably, I don't know, 20 times, if not more, in my lifetime. I think that first time I was like 11 or 12 years old. And let me tell you what, when I was 11 or 12, it blew my mind. But now I just watch it and laugh. It's so good.
Right, right. Skrull, what'd you think of this one? I know we're all going to probably be on kind of the same page, with this one. You enjoyed this one too, didn't you, buddy?
Oh, yes. It was hilarious to see, him fighting crime after he gets, tricked in running into this toxic, barrel and turning into this toxic Avenger and especially the restaurant scene, when they walk in and he makes a sundae out of that guy's mouth or a milkshake and deep fries the guy's hands and puts the other guy in the oven and cooks him like a pizza. It was so hilarious. And then there was a part where he meets this girl and she's blind and the guys shoot the girl's dog.
Oh my God, that hurt my soul.
Yes, that was bad. But then you see Toxic Avenger kick their ass and then take care of the girl and take her home. And he goes, watch your step. And she opens the door and falls flat on her face. And she's like, here, let me find my cane. And she's got 75 canes and she knocks them all down. And every time Toxic Avenger turns around, she's always hitting him in the nuts. Now that was funny. And
I want to back up a little bit because I want to go back to the diner scene because that was like a robbery. It was like a taco joint, like a fast food taco joint.
Right.
And, you got these three guys. They don't wear fucking ski mask or anything. They get their face all painted up like Flock of Seagulls or some shit. You got a black guy and you got this one, fucking guy, half his face is painted. He points a fucking shotgun to a fucking baby. Oh, nice baby. You want a hot tamale? He wants to shoot this fucking baby. Right. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? And oh my God, the black guy, he just has a white stripe going across his nose. Like, I don't know. It reminds me of an 80s pop band and how they would do their makeup. It was just fucking great, dude. But I mean the stunts in it, okay? And of course, this movie is not meant to be, oh, look at the stunts. This isn't a fucking Vin Diesel film, okay? This is meant to be, I think, comical, cheesy, fun, entertaining. You're not supposed to take this serious at all. And it's funny because you watch some of the, because he's just, you got the Bruce Lee guy who comes out with the nunchucks and shit. But he's throwing motherfuckers and you see the guy going through the air and then it cuts a scene, to him going over, into the fucking, cooking area. I don't know. It was just so cheesy. It was a fun movie. But yes, he started waterboarding the one guy with the milk. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? And then he's shoving ice cream down his fucking throat and then whipped cream, puts a cherry on top and then takes that little blender thing to make milkshakes and just fucking rams it in his head. It's fucking great.
And what was the cops? What did the cops say, Otis? What was it? We got a pizza with everything.
They're like, what do you got over there, buddy? He's like, well, I got a large milkshake or something. And they go, what do you got over there? He said, I got a large pizza with everything.
And what was the milkshake? He said, I got an ice cream sundae over here.
Yeah, right. This shit was just so entertaining. And then catch up with where Don was. They call him the monster hero. Because he's a hero, but yet he's very grotesque and fucking one eye is drooping down his fucking face from all the toxic waste melting his, fucking skin and shit or whatever. He fucking, he takes this girl home. She can't go nowhere. I mean, she don't know where, because she's got her dog. Her dog's fucking dead now. So he takes her fucking home, and she was like, now watch, there's a step here. No sooner she say that, she gets up there and trips on it and falls right on her fucking face. That was some of the funniest shit, dude. I laughed so hard. It was like, what am I? Why? This is like a Tucker and Dale versus Evil type shit, right? I mean, this is more your comedy than horror.
Yeah, this is absolutely intentionally cheesy, comedic. Like, the fact that it's horror and it's over the top with gore is like a bonus. But yeah, there's one scene where Cigarface, one of the guys he first runs into when he becomes a Toxic Avenger, Cigarface finds him a second time. And Cigarface got all these other bad guys, and they surround him, and they're telling him how he's gonna die, and they all pull guns out, and he jumps up in the air out of the being out of the middle, and they all shoot each other. Ridiculous. I love it.
I know. And I saw that from the moment they got in that formation. I was like, I know exactly what the fuck is going on here.
Or when the Toxic Avenger takes a piss, and he's pissing, and it's pissing like toxic.
It's like all green.
Shit.
Right?
Yeah. And then the love scene where he's like with the blind girl and she touches him and he's like, I don't know what's going on. And then all the steam
before all this fucking steam's coming up. Oh my god, this is just fucking great, dude.
What else is great is the way he's always like, bruh, bruh, and then he talks.
I know.
And it's like this overdubbed voice that's just like so calm and relaxed.
Like, he's like, Mom. He tries to go home, right? After he has, you know, been transformed into this hideous fucking monster hero that he's known to be. Goes home, he knocks on the door, and his mom's like, who is it? He was like, it's Melvin, it's me, Melvin. She opens the door, she obviously fucking screams, because he doesn't look anything like, he's bigger, he's actually got muscles, thin little wispy Melvin, you know, from the beginning. And he's like, she shuts the door, and he's like, in that voice that you're talking about, Mom,
right.
Mom. And then he's walking away going, I'm not going to hurt you. What the fuck?
It's so great. It's so great. I just love it.
Well, that sounds like a good time to hand out skulls. If you guys don't have anything else to add to this, we'll start with Dom there. I know what I'm giving this one. I got a feeling yours is going to be probably very similar, to mine. What are you giving this, Dom?
I've enjoyed this movie since the first time I've seen it, and I've seen it a lot of times. Because of that, I have to give it a very high rating. Every time I watch it, I still enjoy it. It's 2020 and I'm still enjoying it. So I'm giving this 4.5 stars.
Nice. I kind of figured that. Don, Skrull, I know you're not far behind that. What are you giving this, buddy?
4 skulls, solid.
Four solid. I'm going to. I'm also going to give this a solid. 4 skulls. I. This is definitely one. I can't imagine anybody into horror listening to the podcast has not seen this movie. It is absolutely a must watch if you haven't. I had seen bits and pieces, maybe even the whole thing years ago. So it was almost like watching a movie for the first time, because I didn't remember a whole lot about it, but that's a pretty good range. Four, that's 8, 12.5 out of 15 for Toxic Avenger. Now, the main event, I guess, in our movie selection would be the 1990 remake. And we usually don't talk, we brought remakes up in the past, and they usually get more criticism than they do praise. There have been a few out there that, I think The Crazies, was one that we did a couple weeks ago. where you know, it got, you know, really good, or one of them, I don't know. Anyway, Night of the Living Dead, 1990, directed by Mr. Tom Savini. Let's just pass it right on over to Dom. Dom, we all know the premise, you know, of the fucking movie. You know, how do you think Tom Savini did in this remake, Dom?
I have to say that the original film is my number one all-time definitive horror film. Like, when I make a list, when someone says, what's your favorite horror film, right? Number one every time. Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
Right there. You can tell me that, how about watch the 1990 version of it, and I will say, okay. Because I think Tom Savini did excellent on this. I enjoy this movie as much as the original. In fact, I might have actually seen the remake more times than I have the original. It was actually, I saw the original Night of the Living Dead when I was young, but when this came out when I was like 15, it was like, oh, okay, went and saw it and loved it, and all of a sudden it became my go-to zombie film. Like, I watched this because it was my teenage years, and it was good, and it was new and everything. I watched this movie so many times. This movie, I'm appraised it the whole time I thought about it. He stuck true to the original, and yet he changed enough in it that you weren't watching the same exact movie.
Right.
And the things that have changed are good, I think, because, I mean, you're not really changing. When you remake a movie, you don't want to shoot it scene for scene. Like, it's why are you doing that then? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do scene for scene and line for line and everything, then I'll just go watch the original. So normally this is where remakes fail, is because you can't do that. You have to do it different. You have to change some stuff up and get the viewer something. And Tom Savini just delivered. There is so much great stuff in here. This is, Tony Todd is excellent in his role as Ben.
Yeah.
I like the way that
He wasn't in it. Yeah, Bill wasn't in it long. He was the brother in the graveyard scene there in the beginning. So he had a very short role.
It was funny. Right. It's funny.
But, go ahead.
What?
Okay.
What happened?
I don't know. I thought Sterl was going to say something. So I said, go ahead.
Oh, no. He interrupts more than I do.
And then I give him the floor, and he gets all quiet.
Right.
Oh, I was just going to say, it was a small role, you know, at the beginning with Bill Moseley, but it was funny because the character at the beginning of the graveyard, and I'll be quiet after this.
Liar.
She was trying to get the zombie off of her, right? The lead character. And but Bill was trying to get the zombie off of her, and Bill was kept getting stabbed and kicked and stuff instead of the zombie, and he was like, you know, and doing all that stuff, and you could tell. I mean, it was funny, and then the zombie like grabbed him, and he like fell over onto the tombstone.
Yeah, hit his head on the tombstone. That was actually a pretty cool, you know, hit right there. You almost kind of felt that shit. You know what I mean? It was done really well. Typical Tom Savini, you know, style with the, you know, practical effects. Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's one of my favorite
kills. It is a good one. There were, and you mentioned some changes, Dom. You know, where you know that Savini kind of, you know, went and did his own little thing. There was one, we all know the infamous graveyard scene in the beginning, which, Dom, we were there, you and Mrs. Dredd, at that very location, and where the original was filmed, that is. They did that there, too, didn't they?
I think so. Yeah, I know it was filmed in Pennsylvania, but I don't think it was. I don't think they were in Evan City, though.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, the in the original, we all remember.
You know what? I just looked it up.
What's that?
They filmed this. I just looked it up. They filmed this one in West Middleton Cemetery in Avella, Pennsylvania. So no, it was a different cemetery.
Okay, different cemetery. It kind of had the same feel to it. You probably wouldn't even know, you know, if you hadn't been there or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, the zombie that comes out in the very beginning, you know, and then coming to get you, Barbara, you know, zombie comes up. What I really like that Savini did was, okay, he made these zombies kind of how I think zombies should be. Not like, oh, like, I think they should, if you're going to have a zombie coming back from the dead, that zombie should probably be in, you know, maybe the clothes that he was buried in, have the injuries, you know, you can see, you know, evidence of the injuries of how he died or whatever. And that's what you got with this zombie in the very beginning, walking up to Barbara. You watch this zombie walk and stepping, you get a shot from behind, and you can see where the back of his suit was like cut, and this, I guess, was, you know, medically correct, you know, when they, you know, do things, where they had cut him open and shit. Or, no, that was from the front, because he steps on his fucking pants, and it pulls the entire thing down because the back of his suit is cut down. Then you see where he was, like, you know, was it a Y cut like they normally do to open up the chest and shit?
Testing that, yeah, it was all open, yeah.
And so that was a really cool addition, I thought. And another kind of cool addition was they changed the lead character. The what the hell is her name? Barbara.
Barbara?
Yeah. it just slipped my mind for a second. Yeah, they kind of changed Barbara's character a little bit. To the point where, you know, in the original, she seemed more catatonic. Me and Don were talking about this earlier. She seemed more catatonic, like she was in shock, which I get. I get, you know, because you're seeing the trauma that she just went through, you know, with her brother and seeing this shit and all that. But you have more of a, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis almost in a sense in this one. She's you know, I don't, maybe that's a bad
clear-headed
analogy. She's clear-headed, and she's all,
that
you know,
is a good analogy.
Right. So what would you guys think, you know, about that? We'll start with you, Skrull. What would you think about how he changed the you know, how the Barbara's character was?
I think it was great. It was a welcome change. I mean,
yeah.
It made her look like she could step up and defend herself.
Sure.
She could actually do something, you know, and actually add a little element of action to the movie.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it kind of gave her that, you know, I am woman, hear me roar kind of thing. Go ahead, Dom.
Yeah, I loved it because the first, the original, she's just catatonic and pretty much useless and just in shock. And in this movie, Barbara's portrayed as this woman who was in shock at first. Like, she definitely was, like, having to accept what all happened and what is going on around her and see that. But then she gets to a point where it's like, okay, you know what? Like, if I stay in shock, I'm going to die. So
right.
She becomes, like, the most clear-headed person. Like, you see the conflict that breaks down between Ben and the people that are upstairs with and Harry Cooper and his wife and Cal who are downstairs, and there's this tension between them, and neither one of them is really thinking rationally. And here in the movie, in this version, Barbara's the only one who's clear-headed, and she actually has the best idea. She's like, look how slow they are. We should just leave now and walk past them because there weren't many. And it was actually Ben's idea who was like, oh, no, it's a bad idea that we could, like, you know, secure this place first and this and that, and then they become overwhelmed. But, yeah, it's a way different portrayal of Barbara, and I appreciate it, and I think it was an excellent choice by Savini.
And I tell you what, another excellent choice was, and that was casting Tony Todd to play the role of Ben. I think he did that fucking great. I mean, it's Tony Todd, by the way. You know, I mean, come on, Candyman, come on.
Right.
So that he did a really good job. What do you think about Tony Todd in playing Ben's girl?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. He added a lot of action in the movie. He added a lot of emotion. He played the character just 10. I mean, I think he played the character 10 times better than the original one.
And yet he stuck, kind of with how Ben, I think, was portrayed, in the original. Am I the only one that thinks that?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I am the only one that thinks that? Oh, okay.
No. I agree that he's stuck in the Ben character, but he adds another level to the Ben character.
Sure.
Right, Dom?
Yeah, he's very similar, though. His overall character is very similar to the original one.
Yeah.
Which is good, though, because, and both of them, Ben was kind of, the level-headed, who kind of had the right ideas. Well, he did in the first one, anyway.
Right.
The second one, like I said, there was times between him and Cooper where he wasn't thinking. Obviously, he ain't thinking clearly, and Barbara had a better idea. But he just have someone who's a better actor playing the role, really, in this character. And it's definitely Tony Todd. I enjoy his performance of that character more than the original Ben.
So these are some of the changes that you see from Savini's version in 1990 and Romero's version in, was it 68? And none of them, I don't think any one of us can say that any of those changes were bad changes. I think there were a lot of things that he added to it because, in 1990, and you have Tom Savini, you have a lot more things at your disposal than you did in maybe 2000 or 68 with Romero. And the small budget that they were on, I'm sure Savini had a bigger budget. He could elaborate more. He could do different things with the zombies. Yes, he changed the characters up a little bit, but I think for the better with Ben, with Barbara. Why don't we hand out some fucking skulls? This is a good one. Nobody has seen this. And don't forget, they have a Night of the Living Dead in 3D with the late, great Sid Haig. I have not seen that. Has any of you guys seen that yet? I almost about rented that today.
I haven't seen that. I never had a chance to talk about this on the show, and I wanted to talk about this. I'll be a little brief on this.
Go ahead.
But Halloween time last year, I took my son to the Science Center up in downtown Pittsburgh, and they have the biggest 3D screen in the city. And we saw they did a three. Now I don't know how the Night of the Living Dead one is. I don't think it's like this. We saw a 3D print of Dawn of the Dead, the 1978 original.
Wow!
And let me tell you, when I say 3D print of this film, I mean the movie is three-dimensional. Not that there's with your picture back in the day with the red eye and the blue eye and the little jump thing of thing. Like when you saw a room, you could tell how big the room was.
Oh, wow.
This was an experience and nothing else I have ever experienced in my life. This was me and my son went, and we both agreed it was the greatest movie we had ever saw, because it really, they did this, I guess they did this over in Germany or something. But they turned the whole, it took them a long time, but they made the movie itself three-dimensional. If you could, like I said, you could see how big the rooms were and stuff. And it was like, if they could do that with film and make all these films three-dimensional, and you had different kind of glasses to watch it. It was a whole new experience for me. But, like, it was the greatest experience of my life, dude. Like, the greatest movie experience I had ever seen, one of my favorite films. And to see it done that way, I hope that there is a Night of the Living Dead like that, because I was watching it on heartbeat.
Oh, man. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see it. Skrull, have you? I know we talked about it a little bit, but I think you hadn't seen it either. But you have seen it. It's over there on Amazon. You can rent it. I don't know. It looks pretty interesting. You haven't seen it, Skrull?
No, I haven't seen it. It looks interesting. I mean, 3D zombies? Come on, man. Right. You know? That's cool.
I mean, you can't really go too wrong with that, I guess. And then you add Sid Haig on top of that.
Yeah. The Clown King, Sid Haig. I mean, you know, I mean, you can't go wrong.
No.
It's got to be interesting.
You would think.
So,
Dom. Right. Dom, I can almost probably guess how many skulls that Savini's version of Night of the Living Dead put out in 1990 is going to get, but please tell us.
5 skulls.
I knew it. 5 I should have bet fucking money on that. I knew it. I knew it.
This film's a masterpiece. Like, it's a work of art. It's great. It's just like the original. Like, I give them both 5 skulls. I can watch them both every year for Halloween. I just watch 2 movies as they grew up. And every year I rotate between this one and the black and white. You know, this year we watched 1990, we'll watch 1968, and it was fine. Like, that's how good the movie is. Yeah, it's a 5 skull movie.
5 skull movie for Mr. Dom. Skrull, I could probably guess about what you're going to do, too. What are you giving Savini's version?
The acting was perfect, spot on. The zombies looked like zombies and acted like the iconic zombies in the Romero film. The makeup was spot on. The plot was great. It followed the original, plus it had its own twist, which was done perfectly.
Yeah.
This movie was by far one of the ones that I've ever enjoyed. And I've thought about this. I'm gonna give this movie 5 skulls.
Well, I should have bet you too. Yes, this movie is awesome. This is one that should be in every horror movie fan's DVD collection at some point. In your collecting, it should be there. You can't really say, enough about this movie. Of course, you have Tom Savini, okay? Tom Savini is like the king of fucking, practical effects in horror. And you have him directing it. They even had, because you mentioned, Don, how the zombies moved. They actually had, like, people there on set. There's on YouTube, you can watch a little like behind the scenes type deal, how they made the movie. It's pretty interesting. They actually had people on the set that were there strictly just to teach these actors how to walk like a zombie. There was a lot of thought and detail that went into this movie that did not, like a lot of remakes do, did not shit on the original. And possibly, made it a little better. And I'm not saying that, you can say a remake, yeah, that was really good, man. They had some things that they added that maybe added a little spice to the original. But true horror fans, I think a lot of us are always going to go back to the original. I'm that way. I like zombies versions of Halloween and whatnot. But I'm always going back to, you know, 78 with Jamie Lee Curtis as my favorite. And I think a lot of people probably feel that way with this. But with that being said, Five Fucking Skulls for me, too. Another week where a movie has had a perfect fucking skull rating. It's a must. It's a must to watch if you haven't already.
Here's an interesting fact. The second week in a row that the movie has had a perfect 15 skulls, and it's the second week in a row that movie is a remake of a George Romero film.
Oh, my God. There you go. That's right, because The Crazies was the one we gave the five skulls to, and that was originally a Romero film from, what, the early 70s, I think it was.
73, I believe.
I was thinking 72, 73-ish. Yeah, so that's a very interesting point. I did not even think about that. So, go figure. I mean, is it coincidence? We don't know. But another five.
Matt Romero's real good.
No, Romero. Yeah, come on. He's a, you know, I mean, he started this whole like zombie thing. Yeah. I mean, but whoever decided these directors, Tom Savini, director of The Crazies offhand, I don't know, but they did a very, very good job in not destroying the original, making it enjoyable for those that love the original the way that we do with Night of the Living Dead. I think that, you know, yes, it's well deserving of five fucking skulls, in my opinion, a perfect.
Well, may I add something before I forget?
Sure.
In the movie, I was noticing how they were fighting zombies and stuff, and you know how they used the take for example when they hit the zombie in the head with the skillet in the kitchen, right. And it made that sound, that doof sound,
right?
It would be something like you would imagine a corpse would sound like when you hit it with something. You know what I'm saying?
You're
not
weird.
Not a body, like a living body, but a corpse.
Right.
You know, something that has been decayed or, you know, it's just sound. And the way it moved when they hit it, it looked so real.
It made you believe it, that, you know, it made it believable that, yes, you know, this person's actually hitting, you know, this corpse with a particular object. All right. Last fucking thoughts, Dom, on any of the movies, whatever you want to say, the floor is yours.
Everybody's kind of, well, a lot of us are isolated right now. We have a lot of free time, and I think we picked three movies that if you got free time and by some chance you haven't seen them, all three of them for different reasons are very, very enjoyable films, and most, if not all of our listeners will enjoy them for, like I said, different reasons. So.
Right. I heard when you said that all three of them are enjoyable. I hear Don over there going,
He disagrees on one.
He disagrees on one, but yeah, hey, like Meatloaf said, two out of three ain't bad. Skrull, any last thoughts, sir?
Well, the first one we reviewed didn't have nothing to do with children, so let's just
They were all like early 20s.
Yeah, they were like early 20s, so I mean, but I give it the comedy thing.
The other two you dug, like, though. Yeah.
And Meatloaf.
Yeah, right, two out of three ain't bad, right? And, oh, Jesus. Yeah, so, hey, man, hey, this was fun. Dom, thank you. We'll be doing this at least once a week because, as you know, a lot of us are, as you mentioned, Dom, you know, a lot of us are, you know, down and out, have to be locked in through these quite disturbing times. Here, so we're going to bring you some movies every week that we're going to watch and review, and hopefully you check them out. Give us your opinion over there on Facebook, Night Living Dreads, nightlivingdreads.com. Hey, we'll talk to you here real soon. Don't forget, Art the Clown podcast comes out tomorrow.
No one knows. We're going to die.